Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, following on from his book 32 Words for Field, the author Mancan McGann expands on that idea by describing how the Irish language describes other aspects of nature. It's called Tree Dogs, Banshee Fingers and Other Irish Words for Nature. Mancan joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Mancan.
Good afternoon to you, Shaw.
Now, when we were talking to you before about 32 Words for Field, how does this book differ from that one? Or is it just like you just had so many words you couldn't fit them all in the last one?
So, well, the last book, that one was looking at the insights that the language gives into our psyche, into the other world and into all the old culture. But I realised I'd left this big thing ignored, and that is nature. And that Irish seems to look at nature in an entirely different way. It looks at nature as like a child would be looking at nature. So, like, the Irish for a hedgehog is grannog, and grann, you know, it means ugly. So it's an ugly little thing, which is really unfair from the poor hedgehog. Like, the hedgehogs, you know, the hedgehogs, they go in and they eat baby rats alive in the nests. Hedgehogs to us, I wasn't allowed to put that in the book because they thought it wouldn't be suitable for kids. But that's fascinating.
Right? That is fascinating. I did not know that. That's no. But that intersection, though, about looking at the world in Irish, like the supernatural world, for want of a better phrase, mm-hmm. and the physical world are equally real in Irish.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, they were equally real in all languages until recently. So, like, I've just come off doing this seven week tour of Aran na Gcéim, where I bake a bread and the audience churn butter and we talk about the Irish language. And in every single room, like in 38 shows, I ask people, why do we put a cross on top of a loaf of bread in Ireland? And every single room, someone answers me to let the fairies out. So, like, that, even in a TY class down in Limerick, kids in Limerick, we seem to know in Ireland, like, not everyone, but there's a strand of people wherever you go who know that the fairies have an impact in our world. Mm. And again, I could do that in Africa or in India or in South America and you'd all get the same. People always knew that there was this magical world coming up close to our own. And it's just beautiful that we still have that in Irish and that there's so many words in Irish. Like, there's a word in Irish for the ability to know what card is coming up in a pack of cards. You probably want to know what it is. Or maybe you don't.
No, I do, yeah.
Really
yeah.
No, I don't.
Because that would be a relatively modern word then.
I don't know. Come on. How old cards would be from China? It could be 2,000-3,000 years old.
All right, well, how long have been people playing cards in Ireland? Or is it known?
No, but there would have been games. We know that there was this game, Cromdov, which is Arbrondov, which is like a early type of chess. You know, that's discussed in the mythology. Like, Finn McCool constantly referring, like, chess and things. So the games were a big thing. And there's all sorts of other games, like the Talton games. Anyway, we're not won't go into... But anyway, the word for the power to be dealt the best cards from the pack is Dahu.
Dahu. Right.
Yeah. Which Tuilasog is a girl who can cast magical spells.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be great in school if we were teaching those words to kids?
Rather than
the grammar. Or Custan Scarogd, which is a goblet and a tablecloth that produce unlimited supplies of food and drink. Custan Scarogd.
In the way that things are described, the way the natural world is described mm-hmm. in Irish, how different is that from English?
It's... Like, a lot of English words seem to look at nature by just from a scientific mind, by classing into a particular phylum or category or district. Mm. And Irish just seems to look at the animal and see what it reminds them of. So, you know, I think Cot Crean, like tree dog is one of my, well, that's Modder Crean, that's a squirrel, but Cot Crean is a pine marten. And if you ever see a pine marten scooting up a tree, it does look like a cat climbing up a tree, you know? Mm. And then, as I said, Modder Crean, a squirrel, Modder Crean, a dog of a tree dog, which is a squirrel. And obviously also Ira Rua and Ira Gloss. And that makes us really see how the Irish looks at things different. Like, Ira Gloss is a grey squirrel, okay? But everyone knows from their school, Gloss is green. Yeah? Mm. But Irish has these two different words, Gloss and Oina. And you need to see your colour spectrum differently to speak Irish. Because, like, Gloss is basically natural green. It's the green of nature, the green of leaves. But it's also the green of the sea. So the ocean can be gloss. Mm. And the sea isn't really green, it's grey green. So sometimes that word can be grey. If it's a particular tint of grey, you know, and Leah is the Irish for grey often. Like, a horse or a cow can be just Leah, grey horse, grey cow. But the grey that the squirrel is isn't the same grey as a horse or a cow. It's the grey with a bit of green in it of the sea. So it's Ira Rua. So you really need to look at the world in a different way.
Yeah, and it's the context of the colour. And with that would apply to red as well, I think.
Exactly, yeah. You have Darug and Rua. And again, I think all of us have a sense of the difference. We have a sense, you mean, that Rua is a bit more russety. It's a bit more with a bit of brown.
Mm.
So like Madra Rua, it's not Madra Darug. It's not a red fox. Because if there a fox isn't bright red, like Darug is the colour for the flames or for red hot iron or for something with an artificial tint in it. But something that's natural, the leaves in autumn will be Rua. They'll be sort of russety, cross between brown and red.
So what are banshee fingers?
Banshee fingers are loose na man shi. So see, one of the official words for foxglove, but there's loads of words for foxglove. But what it is basically loose is just a plant of the banshee, of the banshee. But there's also like merchon and deal, so the timbles of the devil. And Merchon Madarua, the timbles of the fox. Now, the fox was considered to be a supernatural animal too. But what these are all hinting at, the banshee, the devil, the fox, which is a magical animal, as we see in Little Red Riding Hood, is because, or was that a wolf? That was a wolf.
Yeah.
Is because that foxglove, you know, that people tell you don't bring it into the house. It has poison in it. It's a datura in it, which can either be, it can kill you if you have the right, if you take enough of it, but it can also help revive you. So it had this fairy ability to bring life back to people. Hence they called it that.
Now this is very deliberately a book for kids.
It's very heavily illustrated, but then like Robert McFarlane brings out these books for kids, which to me look pretty intense. Like there's probably more words in this book than there is in 32 words for the field. I have like this big, what is it? I pronounce them all at the end of the book, this way of, whatever that word is, glossary of pronunciation. So I don't know, is it more for uncles and aunts and grandparents who want to buy a highbrow book for their kid than to the kid? It's only out recently, but people are showing me videos of the kids adoring it. But that's not thanks to loads of words. Kids don't love loads of dictionaries.
Mm.
But the illustrations by Steve Dugan are just phenomenal. Like he does these woodcuts. He lino cuts, or he does them. You can now do lino and woodcuts digitally. So he's doing some of them with his lino cut, heating up the lino or the wood, and some digitally. But they're just so evocative. And they're really grown up. A lot of the animals, like the wild looking goats and the wild wolves and the foxes and the animal and the birds, have no eyeballs in them, just these white eyes, which make them look really zombie-like and really freaky. But Gil, the publishers, and him thought, no, let's not mess around. Let's make a sophisticated, let's not talk down to kids.
Yeah.
Let's do a sophisticated.
You made a kind of a glancing reference to it before, the way Irish is taught at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have an issue with that?
Why would we not go in? There's an online dictionary in Irish of magical worlds, words and fairy words. Pages, an entire unpublished dictionary, but it's free available online. Imagine if we went into school and just taught them that, taught them these words, or taught them all the different words for different types of horses. From like Clibbersteen, a shaggy horse, to Faller, an ambling horse, to Garon, a gelding or a pack horse. I could go on, like a mark or pork. Like, we know kids love horses. We know kids love fairy. We know kids love, like, just the natural world. So why wouldn't we be just teaching them in that way? Teaching that there is this world, this language, which teaches that there's a magical world that we have access to. Like that word pukin, you know, the supernatural covering that allows otherworldly beings appear invisible in this world.
Mm.
That's basically Harry Potter's invisibility cloak. We could be focusing on that in the Irish language course, but for some reason, the curriculum, we look at grammar instead.
Yeah. The book is called Tree Dogs, Banshee Fingers and Other Irish Words for Nature. Mancham McGann, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.